thanks for joining me for another Yes to Life show, looking into the many ways people are finding to help themselves if they have cancer. This week, my guest is someone many of you will know of, a man who's been putting a massive amount of energy into inspiring people to meet cancer by cleaning up their lives in a radical way, as he did successfully several years back. My guest is Chris Walk of Chris Beat Cancer, and I'm talking to him over Skype at his home in the US. Hi, Chris. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks very much.
Hi, Robin. Great to be on.
Lovely. Well, look, today we're going to talk about your new Square One Cancer Healing Program that I know a lot of our listeners are keen to know more about. But before getting into that, I thought a little bit of context for the people who have yet to come across you. You've built a name for yourself by consistently putting out videos about cancer with a kind of man on a mission flavor to them. You've had cancer, you don't have cancer now, so why are you still so hot under the collar about cancer and not just leaving it behind and getting on with your life?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, no one's ever asked me that. So I went through the cancer experience when I was 26, and I'll tell a little bit more about the story in a minute, but to answer your question, After I got well, I did go back to my normal life. I wanted to forget about cancer, and I just wanted to be normal again, right? And for almost 7 years, that's what I did. I was in the real estate business, a real estate professional, and I just went back to my normal life. My wife and I had a couple children, and we were just, I was just living, right? Mm. But around the six-year mark, I realized, wow, I'm still cancer free. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm really healthy. And I took an alternate route to get well. And people were asking me, like, what did you do? And so I found myself in these conversations often just saying, well, let me explain what I did. It's, and which I'll get into. But I just started to feel like, maybe I need to share what I did with more people. And so I'll start a blog, I'll just put it online and maybe it'll help some people. And I started chrisbeatcancer.com. Right. And started sharing my story and talking about nutrition and alternative and natural non-toxic therapies. And then I started, people started coming out of the woodwork that had also healed with nutrition and natural therapies. And I'm like, wow, can I interview you and share your story too? So it really grew into something much bigger than me and my story. And there's, frankly, a lot of the interviews I've done are way better, way more compelling. I was stage three, but I've interviewed people who were stage four, sent home to die, that reversed their cancer and healed with a radical diet and lifestyle change. And so, so it just grew from there, but I didn't intend for that to happen. I felt a deep nagging sort of inside that I needed to do something more than just go back to my normal life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just have the short version of your story.
So we've got some time left. There is no short version, Robin.
We've got to have the short ones. We won't get the important stuff in about your program.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer when I was 26. And, like anybody, it's a total shock. And like most cancer patients as well, I was clueless. And I was rushed right into treatment. I mean, they wanted to have me in surgery. They said, we got to get this thing out of you right away or it's going to spread and kill you. And in fact, at that time, they thought it was stage 2. But they found a tumor in my colon. And so they wanted to have me in surgery the next day. And I actually delayed it a week because it was 2 days before Christmas. And I was like, I don't want to be in the hospital on Christmas, But anyway, I was rushed right into surgery, no time to think about my life or how I was living or what factors might have contributed to my disease. And it was just like, we got to cut this out. That's the only solution here. So I had surgery. They removed this tumor. And then they told me, listen, it's worse than we thought. You're stage 3C. That's metastatic colon cancer. And I didn't know this at the time, but metastatic colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in the United States, probably also in the UK. And lung cancer is number one, and breast cancer is obviously a major killer for women. But so I was in the hospital and a couple things happened that started me thinking differently. One was the very first meal that they served me after cutting out a third of my large intestines, Robin, was a sloppy Joe. Mm. Do you eat Sloppy Joes in the UK?
I certainly don't eat them anywhere.
So I can tell you this, but you know, my friends across the pond know what a Sloppy Joe is, right? So it's just ground beef or some kind of ground up meat with like barbecue sauce or whatever on just like slopped on a bun. I mean, it's what they would serve the military in the 1950s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's the lowest quality sort of cafeteria line food that you would serve. And I just couldn't believe that they were serving this in a hospital to cancer patients, right? I mean, they don't even serve Sloppy Joes in restaurants. That's how horrible that particular food item is. So I was a little surprised by that. And then the other thing that happened in the hospital was the day I was leaving, the surgeon came in to talk to me, and I asked him, I said, are there any foods I need to avoid? Because again, they just cut out a third of my large intestine. So everything you eat is going to move past this area that's all stitched up. And I just didn't want to screw it up. You know, I didn't know anything. And so I asked him, you know, is there any food I need to avoid? And he said, no, just don't lift anything heavier than a beer.
Great line.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. All right. And I went home, you know, kind of thinking about the fact that the healthcare industry had zero interest in healthy living or healthy eating. And according to them, it didn't matter what I ate. And so I was on the couch and my wife and I, you know, I was trying to get better. My wife and I prayed and I was just like, God, if there's another way, just show me, you know, because I had this internal conflict about chemotherapy. They told me I needed 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy. But it didn't, you know, I just had a deep instinctive resistance to it. Not to say it isn't for some people, but, you know, something inside me was just saying, don't do it. I knew I was really, really weak at that point. I was really underweight. I just was imagining myself as a chemo patient, and it sounded really scary and really dangerous, you know, right, to me. But I didn't know what else to do. So, you know, prayed about it, and I was like, God, if there's another way, just show me. I don't, you know, like, I really don't know what to do here. This doesn't feel right. 2 days later, I got a book that was sent to me from a man who knows my dad, who lives in Alaska. I live in Tennessee. And I get this book, and the book is pretty well known. It's called God's Way to Ultimate Health, and it was written by a guy named George Malkmus, who healed his own colon cancer 30-plus years ago, and he didn't have surgery. He just did a radical diet change. So I start reading this guy's book, and I can't believe, like, this book showed up, right? And I knew instantly this was the answer to my prayer. I asked for something. This is what showed up. I'm doing it, right? Like, it just, at that time in my life, it was just very clear to me. You know, it was very clear what I needed to do and that this was it. So, in that particular book, he makes the case. This was a man who had seen his mother suffer and die through cancer treatments. He'd seen many. He was a pastor, former pastor, had seen many church members suffer and die through cancer treatment, and that's why he made a different decision for himself and got well. And then, you know, sort of dedicated the rest of his life to help people, you know, reverse illness through nutrition. And he was a big proponent of the raw food diet, so tons of fruits and vegetables, no meat, no dairy, no processed food. And that made sense to me, you know, at the time. Now, this was January 2004. So I had never heard of the raw food diet. Mm. No one was talking about it. It wasn't cool. No, it was not cool or hip. There weren't a bunch of hot, young 20 somethings on YouTube.
Right.
Right. Showing off their bikini bodies and talking about raw food. Like that didn't exist. In fact, there was no YouTube at all in 2004. Most people don't realize that. And so it was just, but it, you know, it was a very weird and new idea to me, but I loved it. I loved the idea. It made sense. I was like, wow, like, okay, what would happen if I just ate whole organic fruits and vegetables from the earth and nothing else? Like, what would happen in my body? So I loved the idea. And I converted instantly, but you know, I was like, I'm doing this right now. And I called my wife and I told her, and I was really excited. And she wasn't excited. She didn't respond in the way that I hoped she would. And she was like, you know, she was just kind of like, okay, you know, I guess, you know, whatever you want to do, but you're still doing chemo, right? Mm. I was like, you know, I don't want to do chemo. I don't feel good about it. It doesn't make sense to me. And you know, it's really toxic. And I don't know. I feel like it'll destroy my immune system, things like that. And, I was just learning things. So I really had very little knowledge at all about the cancer industry or treatments or anything. And so something really interesting happened. It was very unexpected. Most of the people around me sort of turned on me, you know, and started calling me, you know, family members and people close to me calling me, telling me I was making a mistake, I was wrong, you have to do what the doctor says. Don't you think if there was something better, they would know about it and they'd be using it? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not prepared to answer these kind of questions. I don't know. I just know that this is what I want to do. It feels right to me. And so emotionally, that was really tough to have your support system sort of just disintegrate, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of people go through that. When you get them call us, it's a really tough call.
It's really tough. Now, I have to say, in some ways, my entire life prepared me for that moment because I'm an only child. And I'm used to I've always charted my own path in the world. And I've never really been a people pleaser. You know, I just do what I think I need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, I was comfortable going alone. But it was still hard, mm-hmm. right? Still hard. Now, I did have my mom. So my mom had been a health nut and health researcher and, a voracious reader and learner her whole life. And turns out my mom had stacks and stacks of books written by Paul Bragg and Pavel Arreola and Dr. Richard Schultz and all these like health gurus that we were talking about raw food and healing. She had all these books stacked up dating from in the 70s. I mean, I've got a book on my shelf right now, Fasting Can Save Your Life by Herbert Shelton, who used to have a fasting retreat center like back in the 60s. That was my mom's. I've got The Miracle of Rebound Exercise written by Al Carter in the 70s. This is my mom's. So she had all these like amazing books. Right. And that was a total miracle too, right? And so my mom was a big ally, but everybody else just thought I was crazy in the beginning. Mm. And they loved me, right? They weren't like...
There's fear. Fear. That's why they were saying all
that
stuff.
They were absolutely afraid that I was going to die.
Yeah.
And I was making the wrong choice. So I, you know, like most cancer patients, I feel like, Robin, I know you know this too, but most cancer patients really don't want to do the treatments because they know how brutal they are.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Know how brutal they are. But everyone around them is telling them, you have to do it. Right? No, you have to do it. You have to do what your doctor says. The doctor says, no, you have to do it or you're going to die. And so they reluctantly agree to treatment despite their instincts and their intuition. And so I was in that same position. So I was trying to appease the people around me. And they're like, will you please just go talk to the oncologist? Will you please just go hear what he has to say? Maybe they have some different treatments, some alternative treatments. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. So we go to the clinic and we're sitting in the waiting room waiting to go back, and the TV is on, and it's one of the morning shows, and out comes Jack LaLanne.
Oh, yeah.
Jack LaLanne comes out on the TV in an interview and starts going off about nutrition and natural healing, and the reason we're all sick is because we're eating all this man-made processed food and junk food, and you've got to get back to a whole foods diet from the earth. If man made it, don't eat it. And I'm like, I cannot believe this is on the television now with me sitting in the clinic waiting to go to talk to the doctor. And I turned to my wife and I'm like, can you believe this is on right now? She was like, it's pretty weird. So we go see the oncologist and, you know, he gave me very standard boilerplate spiel, right? He's just like, look, you're 26. You've got stage 3C colon cancer. You know, you need 5-FU plus leucovorin chemotherapy. Your odds of survival are about 60%, for 5 years. And I was, when he said that, I was like, 60% chance of living 5 years. I mean, geez, that's not very encouraging, right, with treatment. And then I asked him, what about the raw food diet? And he said, no, that'll fight the chemo. You can't do that. Fight the chemo.
Where did you get that one from? I've never heard that about a raw food diet. I've heard of, obviously about antioxidants and all this stuff, but never about a raw food diet. That's just like plucked out of the air, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, I wish I had said, what do you mean at the time? But after years of learning, I think I understand what he meant. And I think he was two reasons. One is a raw food diet is a pretty aggressive detoxification diet. And it is naturally very high in antioxidants. So it protects a lot of your healthy cells. And when you're on a raw food diet, your body becomes very sensitive to anything foreign. And so when they put chemotherapy in there, your body's like, what is this? Like, get out of here. And it kicks it out faster than a normal person's body would, right? Detoxifies it quickly, and it doesn't do as much damage. And, you know, they want the chemo to do as much damage as possible. So that's how it fights the chemo. The other thing is there's an old idea called the neutropenic diet, where they used to think that cancer patients could not eat any raw food because the bacteria might be a problem for them because the chemo has destroyed their immune system.
Yes.
We now know that's not a threat either. But anyway, so he said that, which I thought was weird. And then I said, well, are there any alternative therapies available? And at that point, his demeanor changed completely. And he got very arrogant and condescending. And he said, no, if you don't do chemotherapy, you're insane. And then everything kind of just went blurry because the fear took over me, right? You know, when you're fearful, your stress hormones are pumping. You can't think clearly. Everything gets blurry. And it's the deer in the headlights, right?
Right.
And
they know that too, of course, when they say that
they
to
know.
You.
They know it, and many oncologists use fear to manipulate and motivate patients to say yes to treatment immediately. Right. And so he's talking to me, right? And I'm, you know, just in a daze and feeling very anxious and fearful. And I don't even know what he said, you know? I mean, he's just saying the typical stuff, like, you know, you have to do this, you have a wife to take care of, you know, there's anything, nothing else will work for you. I mean, just that kind of stuff. And then at one point, he says, he's like, you know, look, I'm not telling you this because I need your business. And I thought that was the one thing that he said that kind of cut through the haze, because I'd been in sales for years. I understood sales and marketing. And I'm like, this guy just did the push away on me. This is a sales technique. Right. And I'm like, what in the world does business have to do with this? And why is this guy using this sales technique? And so all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, you know, this is a business, right? This is a business. You know, a doctor needs patients to make an income, to earn a living. But anyway, so we finish our meeting, and basically like a robot, I walk out of that office straight to the desk, and I make an appointment to get a port put in to start chemotherapy in a few weeks.
You did a good job.
He did a good job. I walked into the clinic feeling really good and really confident about what I was doing because I'd been on a raw food diet for a week, okay? And I walked out of there terrified. And again, the fear took over, and I just sort of, you know, was obedient or compliant or whatever you want to call it and just said, okay, you know, you can do whatever you want to me. We walked out to the car and held hands in my wife's car and just cried and prayed again. And, you know, it was one of the lowest points aside from being diagnosed was that day, because my faith had been completely shaken or shattered or whatever. And I felt really lost. But I thank God that I had time, because I still had a few weeks before they could start chemo because I was recovering from surgery. And in that time, I continued the raw food diet, and I just had, I was able to get my wits about me, right? I was able to think clearly and rationally about my situation and to continue to read and research. And you know, the more I read and researched and the more I thought about it, and I thought about this book coming and the weird stuff they said to me in the hospital and Jack LaLanne on the TV and then the weird stuff the oncologist said to me, you know, as I started to kind of piece the whole thing together, I was like, you know, I know what I need to do, right? I know what I need to do. I don't need to make a fear-based decision. I need to make a faith-based decision, right? I need to do what I believe in, not, you know, I hate to say, I hate to call it a cowardly decision, but a fear-based decision is a cowardly decision. And there are times in your life when you have to be courageous. And courage does not mean you're not afraid. Courage means you're making the scary decision, right? Despite your fear. And that's where I was. I was right at this crossroads, and I like to describe it like this. It was like there were two paths in front of me, and on one path was a brightly lit, paved road that everyone was going down. And on either side of the road, you've got, you know, all of your friends and family cheering you on, right? And that road is leading to the train station to get on the chemo train. And it's a beautiful, modern train. Everything is state of the art. The chairs are the most comfortable chairs you've ever sat in. And they're bringing you snacks and candies and cakes, and all your needs are met, and everyone treats you so well. But there's immediate suffering, right? As soon as that train starts, the suffering starts. And it's very hard to get off the train once it starts. And at the end of the line, who knows what's going to happen to you? Are you going to get off better? Or are they going to drop you off worse? Are they going to tell you, we can't help you anymore, and just drop you off to die? So that was one option. And then the other option was a path into the jungle that I had to go alone, right? Just like hacking my way through the jungle in the dark. And that option was scary too, right? No support, all alone. But, you know, it's like I said earlier, I knew that was the path I had to take. That was the time where I really had to step out in faith and just say, okay, God, if you provided this path for me, then you gotta see me through it. Like, I don't know where I'm going, you know? I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I barely have, like, you know, it's not like I have an atlas. You know, I have like something somebody sketched on a napkin, right? Here's a rough way to get through this jungle. Like, here's an idea. A few people have gone through it before, so good luck. And that was the critical moment for me. And when the day came to go get the port, I didn't go. You know, I made the decision. Like, you know what? I'm doing this my way. I'm taking the road less traveled, you know, as Robert Frost described it. And it did make all the difference. I got well. I found support. I found a naturopathic nutritionist. I found an integrative oncologist. And I like slowly assembled a small support group, you know. It's basically me and my mom. I mean, I love my wife. We've been married for 15 years now, and we've never been closer. But just during that time, she didn't know how to help me. No. And like, so I don't want to make her look bad. She loved me so much, but she just didn't, you know, she was, I could say maybe paralyzed by fear and just didn't know how to.
Yeah.
And so, but I, you know, as soon as I started looking, I found support. And that's so important for cancer patients. If they feel alone and they don't have support right away, it's out there. And it's so much better now because we got Facebook, we got YouTube. I mean, it's so easy to connect with people, Robin.
It's true. Social media is brilliant for this sort of thing. People are just talking to each other all the time. Those forums are hopping, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. Mm. And I had... You know, I like to joke and say there's never been a better time to be diagnosed with cancer.
I mean, it's a borderline joke, that one.
Yeah, but the truth is, I didn't have that. No. I didn't have any cancer buddies at all. I only knew of, like, I could count on one hand the number of people that I knew of who had healed cancer with nutrition and natural therapies. And these are not even people that I could talk to. Mm. They were just like, you know, Dr. Lorraine Day and George Malkmus and Anne Fromm. So, yeah, I mean, I just a little couple people out there that I thought, you know, if they did it, maybe I can do it. And now, I mean, even Crispy Cancer, my site alone, I've interviewed 50 plus people who have healed cancer with nutrition and natural therapies. Like some did no treatment, some did it after treatment failed them, some did it a little bit of both. But the point is, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time.
It certainly is. Yeah. Okay, so on now to the main topic for today's show, your new program. Firstly, I want to ask you what the thinking is behind the name.
Absolutely. So there's been an interesting sort of evolution in my own, I guess, public persona or whatever as a very well-known cancer survivor. It started out with me just wanting to share my information about what I did. Then I started sharing information about what other people did. Then I started coaching people one-on-one because they were just coming after me. You know, I mean, people were just messaging me like, please, can we talk? You know, can we talk? Help, you know? And so I'm like, okay. And I was working another job, you know, but in my spare time, I was spending a lot of time on the phone and Skype with people, like really just kind of walking them through and helping them and encouraging them. And then that grew and grew and the site grew. And eventually I was able to focus on the site full time and speaking and coaching people, which was just fantastic. I stopped real estate after 5 years, you know, of doing the blog. I could finally stop the real estate business, but the demand still was too much. Like, I couldn't meet. There was too many people. Like when you get, you know, it's hard to explain, but when you get 50 or 100 or several hundred messages a day, I mean, there's no way. Like, there's just no way. And so it became really clear that I needed to take everything that I was walking people through and create a program, right? An online program that anyone could go through. And that was the equivalent of 10 hours basically of like coaching with me, talking to me on Skype. And so I created that you know, when you start researching cancer, there's a million different directions you can go, right? I mean,
sure,
it's a deep twisting rabbit hole, right? It's not even a rabbit hole. It's more like an ant colony. You know, it's just like you can end up with your head spinning. And one of the messages, I mean, the message I get all the time is, you know, at first it was Chris, help me, you know. Now it's Chris, I'm so confused. I don't know where to start. There's so much information. I don't know what to do. There's so many conflicting opinions.
Yeah.
And so when I was developing the course, I realized, you know, I need to call it square one, right? This is where you start because people need a starting point. Right, they need a very specific action plan, and they need to know what to do, what to change, what to eat, you know, how to deal with their stress and their emotions, and how to forgive, and how to detoxify, and the best exercises that can promote health and healing that won't, like, you know, work against them, and how to get their mind and their attitude right. So all these components that are so critical that I've seen, they're the common threads. Right, that I changed about my life and that every patient I know has changed to heal. I took all those common threads and distilled them down into a very simple, straightforward course. It's just a very simple program. It's not the encyclopedia of alternative therapies, which is what you see a lot. You know?
Yeah, that's not very useful, is it? That's more confusion.
It's more confusion. And I have some dear friends that have put out some incredible information, but again, it's a lot of times it's just overload, right? It's great for awareness. It's great to get people thinking that, whoa, I have so many more options than I realized. But then it's like, but where do I start?
Yeah.
So that's what square one is. It's the starting point to change your life and to remove everything in your life that may be causing or contributing to your disease. And it's not just for people who say, I don't want to do chemo or surgery or radiation. It's actually applicable to all cancer patients. I mean, this is the evidence-based stuff, right? That we know reduces cancer risk, increases survival, improves your immune function, improves detoxification. Like, and so I didn't want it to be, you know, just sort of like an alternative therapy course. It's for everybody, right? And yeah, and it's good. So we decided to put it free online for 10 days, February 15th through the 25th. So the entire course is going free for 10 days. So it's just my way of like giving back. I actually launched the course last summer and have had a lot of people buy it and go through it. And the feedback's just been amazing. And what we did is we took all that feedback and we made it even better. And so what we're launching on the 15th is like the 2.0 version. Square one, 2.0. Right. That's confusing, right? But yeah, so it's 10 videos that'll air over the course of 10 days. And it's, like I said, it's totally free. So, I mean, anyone can go through this entire thing for free. And I'm really excited about it, man. It's the biggest thing I've ever done.
Right, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, and a lot of work to put it together. But desperately needed. And if you're the person that a lot of interest is focused on in order to get some information, it's brilliant that you have it prepared in this way, ready to be able to actually answer a lot of people.
Yeah, we're gonna reach a lot of people. I think as of right now, we have 75,000 people that have registered to watch it free online. Wow. So I mean, it's really exciting.
How long is that since you put it out exactly?
Well, we made the announcement, the public announcement that it was happening on February 1st. So it's been 10 days.
10 days, 75,000. Wow. That is a response.
Yeah. I mean, people, they want it. You know, I mean, the demand is great for this, right? Huge. People just, they just want answers. They want to understand what they can do. You know, one of the things that makes me so frustrated is that in conventional medicine, conventional cancer treatment, most patients are told nothing you did contributed to your disease and nothing you can do matters.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That's the message they're getting. It's just bad luck or it's genetic. Yeah. So you are completely powerless. Right. And you just need to trust us and let us treat you and hope for the best. Mm. Right.
That's it.
That's the message. That's it. And it's a lie. It's we know we have scientific evidence. I mean, multiple studies on the rates of cancer around the world, on diet and lifestyle habits, how they impact cancer, not only cancer incidence, but cancer survival. Mm. There's so much incredible evidence, and it is not made. It just, the cancer industry has basically put up a wall to diet and lifestyle and anything that a patient can do for themselves. Mm. And they just don't want to talk about it. But we live in the information age now, so we can reach people and give them the tools they need to change their life.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I mean, this potential that the internet has unleashed for people to help each other and not to leave them sitting there on their own at the mercy of a very sort of blinkered medical system is fantastic, really. Mm.
You know, I spoke in London last summer, and we met.
We did.
Yeah, and I'm coming back.
Great.
And I'm going to speak again. In London in June.
Okay, good.
So I don't have a date yet. It'll be in the first 2 weeks of June because that's when I'll be there. But I'm talking to a few people, some of our mutual friends, and we're working out some details. So I love London so much. I'm, you know, I had a genetic test done, and I'm like 98% European.
Is that right?
Mostly okay. British, you know, obviously. So my mom's side of the family, their last name is Creed. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, I love London.
Make sure we know about it as soon as possible, and of course, we'll publicize it.
Great, awesome.
Okay, so a couple of questions now. Over time, people who take matters into their own hands, they usually end up becoming the preeminent expert on their own health. But right at the outset, I mean, cancer, as you pointed out, it's a totally daunting learning curve for most people. So how much self-management do you encourage, and how much do you recommend people go to experts?
You know, I found a nutritionist, a naturopath, you know, and an integrative oncologist. And I think that can be very valuable because you need to monitor your progress, right? Even if you reject all conventional treatment, okay, you still need to monitor because you need to know if what you're doing is working for you. Right. And you don't need to go for 9 months or 12 months or a year and a half, just like hoping that, you know, what you're doing is working. Like, you need to monitor. So I had blood work drawn every month. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And I had a CT scan every 6 months for the first couple of years. Now, that isn't as necessary, but whatever. And now we have a lot of non-invasive methods for cancer monitoring. Mm-hmm. And there's an entire module in the course, actually, dedicated to testing and monitoring to just show people, hey, here are the tests you can take. But yeah, I think it's really important because, you know, it's kind of like, there's kind of like two sides to it. One is you need to take full responsibility for your health, right? Like, you have to be the captain of your ship. You have to be in the driver's seat, right? Because no one is going to take better care of you than you will if you decide to do it. But you need some expertise to come alongside you and be a part of your team. And because there's a lot to learn. And so what patients run into is a lot of times their oncologist is not supportive of their decision if they decide to delay treatment or to forego it. And so I just recommend you may just need to go talk to a few more, right? If the first doctor you see doesn't agree with you and is antagonistic, then you just need to find a new doctor. And you may have to talk to two or three or four till you find one that understands and will support you and is kind and caring enough to say, yeah, I'm happy to monitor your progress. And, you know, I'm not going to push you into doing anything you don't want to do.
Mm, okay, good. All right. Well, that's great. So it's quite a balanced kind of approach, basically. Get in charge, but get yourself some expertise.
Yeah. And I'm not against, look, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against conventional cancer treatment or the industry necessarily. I think they're doing a lot of things wrong, a few things right, but the reality is we've got a lot of good people that are physicians that are trapped in a system that gives them very little tools, right? That gives them a very small toolbox, surgery, chemo, radiation, you know, immunotherapy now, and pays them really well despite their results. Mm. So they don't really have an incentive or the freedom, that's really more important, to innovate, right? Doctors mm-hmm. don't have that freedom anymore. They don't have the freedom to practice medicine at all. They are limited. They have strict requirements now to prescribe certain therapies, what we call standard of care. Mm-hmm. And if a patient goes to a doctor and says, "Doc, these are the treatments I want you to give me," the doctors will say, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that." You know, if a patient says, I want intravenous vitamin C, Laetril, and mistletoe," most doctors will say, "I can't do that. I'm not trained in it. I'm not allowed to use those therapies anyway. Not in this country. So I can't help you." Mm. And that's really unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate. But I hope things change in my lifetime. And I feel like they probably will, because things are moving so rapidly.
I think I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, you know, the rate of change in medicine is painfully slow, left to its own devices. But the build-up of public pressure at the moment is so rapid that I think it's going to have to change. Literally, it's going to be a bit of a dam bust within the next few years, where basically the old myths, like the fact that food's got nothing to do with whether you're healthy or not, will just be completely smashed. So things will have to change then.
Patients are coming into the oncologist appointments armed with so much more information than ever before, you know, because of you and me and the people like us that just want to give people information. In fact, I created a free guide for cancer patients called 20 Questions for Your Oncologist.
Okay, that's a good one.
And this has been, it's pretty legendary now. I mean, it's free. People can get it free on my site, but you can link to it, you know, you have just put a link on your page or whatever to it, but it gives them all the most important questions to ask. Mm. And that's the biggest challenge, is cancer patients have no idea what they're getting into, and they don't know what questions to ask. Well, they get rushed into something they don't understand. Mm.
Well, unfortunately, the way of cancer is that there's so much fear being built around it that nobody wants to know about cancer until they have to. And so they start off knowing nothing.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I'd never even had any family or friends go through it when I was diagnosed. Mm. So, I mean, I was really, really clueless.
Okay, and another question about your view on things. Obviously, you're big on nutrition as being a primary way of restoring yourself. What's your view on supplements?
I believe that nutrition is the foundation of health. It has to be. You have to get the diet right first. It's your diet, it's your lifestyle, and stress. Okay. Now, I have an entire module about supplementation, and I think supplementation can be very valuable. But I see people make a mistake of where they get caught up in the magic bullet, quick fix mentality of supplements, and they don't address their stress, and they don't really change their diet. You know, they keep eating the same Western diet and living this high stress life and are just an emotional mess, and they think they're going to take a bunch of supplements and cure their cancer. That ain't going to work. That's not going to help. But where I see supplements helping is they can give a little bit of additional firepower once you have the foundation in place, right? Or a hardcore diet change, hardcore lifestyle change, then sure, add some supplementation. I mean, there's some powerful stuff. Vitamin D3, we know, is the number one anti-cancer vitamin. Black seed oil is an incredible anti-cancer food. Turmeric, you know, frankincense. There's a pretty long list in the course of what I think are key supplements that can help. But I'm very adamant, like, don't just think you're going to take these. If you don't change anything else, you're wasting your money if you think you're just going to take supplements and get better.
That's interesting. I think, I can see the connection in the mentality between, you know, take a pill for every ill drug thing, and the supplements are also pills, generally speaking. And so, yeah,
that's right.
They link into that thinking, unfortunately.
We've been conditioned, right, to think that way. And so a lot of people carry that same thinking into the natural world and think, well, isn't there just an herb that can cure me, like, you know, chemo or whatever? And no, I mean, healing requires a total life change. I think anything less is risky, right? I mean, I think your best odds are when you change everything, when you look at your whole life and say, you know what? Maybe the way I'm living is killing me, right? And if so, then maybe I need to change everything. You know, I need to get out of this toxic work environment or this toxic relationship, and I need to stop poisoning and polluting myself with cigarettes and overeating and junk food and fast food. You know, you just kind of lay it all out on the table and sort through your life and go, man, how much of what I'm doing is actually promoting health, and how much of what I'm doing is promoting disease? For most people, most of what they're doing is disease promoting, and very little of it's health promoting. So you got to flip that. You know, it's kind of like the 80-20 rule. Like, most people are maybe doing 20% healthy stuff and 80% unhealthy stuff. And you got to flip it, you know, and not just flip it to 80% healthy, 20% unhealthy, but flip it to 100% healthy if you're trying to get well.
If you've got cancer, yes, that's right.
Yeah. If you're into prevention, then yeah, you have more freedom and you can go 80-20. But if you're trying to heal something serious, then you have to go all the way. And I've said this before, 100% is easy. 99% is hard. 100% is easy. It's easier to go full commitment. It's like quitting cigarettes
cold turkey. Yeah.
You know? It's the same thing. Cold turkey is easier than trying to cut back.
Okay. Makes sense. So I want to ask a bit about money. Your program's free at the moment.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah. What are your longer term plans? Do you know, or are you making it up as you go along?
Yeah. So it's a paid program. But we're airing the entire thing free online for 10 days, and it's going to be heavily discounted for anybody that wants to buy it during the 10-day online launch. And so, but yeah, the program will continue on, and but it is very inexpensive. I mean, the discount, it's $197 US, but it'll be discounted half. It'll be $97 US during the launch. So, I mean, we wanted to make it super affordable so that anybody that wanted it could afford it. And so yeah, I mean, it'll just continue on perpetually because every day people, you know, need it and ask for it.
Okay, so that doesn't cost too much, but of course, making the changes does cost. So what do you think people should expect to need to find on a weekly or monthly basis? Is the program that you're encouraging people to do within the reach of most people?
Yeah, I believe it is, because some of the most powerful and effective therapies don't cost anything, right? It doesn't cost anything to forgive. It doesn't cost anything to fast. It doesn't cost anything to change your mindset and to choose to be positive instead of negative. It doesn't cost anything to eat a plant-based diet versus a junk food diet. It really is the same. Now, if you buy organic food, which is best, it's going to cost a little more. But you'd be surprised, and you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of people would be surprised that eating a super healthy diet doesn't have to cost more money, you know, when you're just talking about fruits and vegetables. So what I'm not telling people in the course to do is to go get a bunch of expensive treatments, right? And a bunch of expensive alternative therapies. That is not in there, right? Okay. Because that's out of reach for most people. And again, the changes that you can make to your life that most people can make are either very inexpensive or free. Now, you take a bunch of supplements, sure, that could cost you money. I mean, you could spend $1,000 a month on supplements if you just went crazy, right? Or more. But again, like I said a minute ago, supplements are supplemental, right? That's the piece of the piece of the protocol that you add if your budget can afford it, right? You add those. But if it can't, you just do the hardcore diet and lifestyle. I meant to say exercise is free, right? Absolutely. Deep breathing is free. Sunshine is free. Mm. You know, like most of the healthiest or best health promoting habits, I should say, are free. Mm. And it's just, people just need a roadmap and just a simple guide to like change their life and start incorporating these things every day, because healing is, there's a snowball effect with healing, and you get momentum in healing when you're doing the same things every day, those health promoting habits every day. It's like, you know, when you exercise, if anybody that's ever exercised knows, if you go to the gym 3 days a week consistently for a few months, you have huge improvement, right? You get stronger, you get fitter, you look better, you lose weight. It's that consistency that's so important. And so if you go to the gym once every few weeks, you're not going to get any results, right? And so it's really incredible to see what happens and how much turnaround. I've seen this many, many times. How people can turn their health around in 90 days with just a 100% massive action plan, you know, where they just go for it all the way, no excuses, and they change everything. I mean, you just see it. You see tumors shrink. You see tumors go away. You see blood work change dramatically. You see people losing weight. Their diabetes goes away. Their high blood pressure goes down. Their cholesterol goes back to normal. Like, all these amazing things happen when you make a decision to change your life.
Mm. Okay, that's reassuring to hear. So you're fundamentally saying that it's an inexpensive program, and actually doing it is inexpensive as well, because you're focusing in on things which are either free or the same price you might be paying already. So it shouldn't really cost you a fortune.
These are things that are doable. And you know, since you brought that up, a lot of people want to rush off to an alternative clinic, right, when they're diagnosed. And I have a list, you know, in the program, I have a list of alternative clinics and providers that I trust, right, that I know personally or by reputation. But I also don't encourage people to run off to a clinic. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to change your life first. A clinic could be helpful. It could give you a jump start. And this is what I've visited a lot of clinics and spent time, you know, in not just like dropping in and take a tour and leave, like stayed at clinics for days and talked to the patients and the doctors, and done that many times. And what I see happening is a lot of times patients will go to a clinic and they'll have a dramatic improvement in 3 weeks, right? I mean, they'll get out of the wheelchair. Their tumors will shrink, their pain will reduce or go away. Like, things will be, they have this wonderful response to, you know, the diet or some treatments like vitamin C or Laetril or whatever. But then they go back home, right? And they go back home to their disastrous life, right? Their stress mess. Mm. And they didn't change their life. And they went to the clinic for 3 weeks, but then they go back to the mess. And guess what? You know, things start going in the opposite direction. The tumors start growing again. The pain comes back, you know, and they don't get well. right? Because they can't stay at the clinic for a year. I mean, who could afford to do that? Most people can't even afford to go to a clinic for 3 weeks. I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah, really expensive, yeah.
And so my core message is that you have to change your life, right? You've got to change your life, radically change everything if you want to get well. And you don't need to go to a clinic. And you don't need a bunch of expensive supplements necessarily or a bunch of expensive therapies. But you do need to change everything else, the things we've already talked about. And you know, because I didn't go to a clinic, right? And I know a ton of people who've healed that didn't go to clinics. Now, I do know some that have healed that did. But the point is, that's out of reach for a lot of people. And I hate to see anyone get discouraged because they feel like, oh, I can't afford to go to a clinic, because I couldn't afford to go to one. I would have gone, you know, just right. if I had the money back then, because I just had that mentality that I need to go to a doctor to fix me, you know, an alternative doctor or something. But I hate to see people get discouraged when they think, oh, I can't do this because I don't have enough money. It's just not true.
Okay, so your square one course is what they do need to arm them to do this. Maybe you want to just round off by telling people what they do about getting a hold of it.
Absolutely. Well, so if they are listening to your show, will you have a link?
Yes, in the show notes provide, yes, we have all the links for the show. Yes,
yes.
On our website.
So they just go to your site, whatever the link, wherever it is, and they'll take them to a page with the trailer on it. So we made this really wonderful trailer about the program. And they can just sign up right there, put their name and email in on that page, and then they'll get an email with access information when it starts on February 15th.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll run for 10 days, a module every day for 10 days, and each module stays online for 24 hours. So my international friends can watch anytime during that day. Mm-hmm. They don't have to watch it when it first airs at 9 p.m., which is Eastern U.S. time. So we tried to make it, you know, really accessible for everybody around the world. And right. it's incredible how many international people have signed up. I'm getting messages from all over the place. So it's pretty amazing.
Cool. And so they get a chance to watch it once free, the whole lot. And if they like what they see, they can then own it for about $100.
Yeah, right. That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up there. It's been great talking, Chris. Thanks very much indeed. And thanks for telling us all about what sounds like a brilliant resource for people. I shall be watching myself.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on.
Well, I imagine a lot of you will be interested in Chris's new program, which I'm sure will be a very useful resource, particularly if you're recently diagnosed. As Chris said, just head to the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, choose Media Centre from the left-hand sidebar, and then UK Health Radio, to find a link to the Square One programme and other resources that Chris mentioned in the show. Coming up in the Yes to Life's calendar are an Outsmart Cancer Cookery Workshop with Inspired Nutrition, that's on the 11th of March in Brighton. Liz Butler and Lizzie Davis are running a nourishing movement workshop in Shoreditch on the 22nd of March. Then there's Mindfulness for Living Well with Claire McCluskey near Oxford on the 30th of March. And looking forward to April, there's the next in our series of Lifestyle Choices and Cancer seminars, which features integrative oncology expert and author of The Cancer Revolution, Patricia Pete, along with medical herbalist Kate Scott. And you'll find full details of all these events. Just head to the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk. Next week, I have another amazing guest from the US, Travis Christofferson. Travis is the author of the very successful book, Tripping Over the Truth, and he was our keynote speaker at the Yes to Life annual conference in the autumn. Not to be missed. Goodbye.